This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ah, it's that one song by Gracie Abrams. I'm Mark Crotty on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're doing Lala theme tonight. They just rolled out the bands yesterday and more information today. Lollapalooza is out and it has been announced, and Gracie Abrams, the Abrams girl, because that is superstar director J.J. Abrams' daughter. J.J. Abrams, amongst other things, directed at least one or two of the Star Wars?
Two of the Star Wars is the first and the third. Okay. Rian Johnson, actually, who made Knives Out, made the second of that trilogy.
Okay. And I actually saw Gracie Abrams on Saturday Night Live this year, and she is legit. Because of course you say, she's the daughter of Jay. Of course she's out here. No, she's like legit talented. And oh my God, the Lollapalooza. Like, I know there's always going to be top of their game pop acts at Lolla, but they are forcing the issue this year. My goodness, there is a power play.
That's what Robbie and I were just talking about back here. There's a lot of them, right?
God, Gracie Abrams, who's not even on, like, is not down as a closer. But you know why? Because you have Olivia Rodrigo, who probably, I don't know what the power ranking is right now, but she's got to be just under Taylor Swift right now, right?
And I'm sure people really want to hear our opinions on that, too. They probably think, you know who really has got a good feel on this?
Well, I'm not trying not to insult the listeners. And then you have Sabrina Carpenter, too.
Sure, right?
Who is all probably, I don't know, man, she may be just a step under the queen.
Definitely. I mean, like, all three of them, popularity-wise, they're right there, right?
Oh, yeah. So that is going to make for some craziness at Lollapalooza this year. So that's what we're doing. That's the theme. You get a little bit of editorial on the music, and then we'll get back to talking about the Cubs. You know what I hated about the series? Here's what it was. Not that they lost. We'll talk more about that in a second as well, and take your calls at 312-644-6767. Cubs are 0-2, not just because of that, a 4-1 loss and a 6-3 loss. Yeah, it sucks that they're 0-2 and all of that. But what really sucked watching those games is just how darn polite the Japanese fans are. All I had heard was in the exhibition games that they had a chant for every single player, and even the guy on deck, and even the pinch hitters. And it's this like a soccer game is what I was thinking, like an international soccer competition where the fans are just this rolling part of the whole thing. And so I'm hearing all that. And then it's pin drop, old day Expo Dome sound of this big cavernous dome, and nobody is cheering. And it, like, they're all on the big plays and the moments, of course they are, but the rest of the time, just very silent. And it turns out, and I learned this from a Taylor McGregor report watching the games, that this is the Japanese culture, a nod to Americans essentially, and respecting the way Americans take in and watch baseball in a much more laid-back fashion than apparently Japanese fans typically do.
Yeah, man. If you've seen clips of like even just the World Baseball Classic from a couple years ago, I mean, Japan is crazy. Yeah, those fans love it. I mean, and we even saw some a little bit of it too in the like the PCA chants that were coming up here. Like they just
That was awesome. And but it makes me wonder, Sean, do we really want that? Because or is it something that I wasn't the only one who was desirous of seeing the spectacle that I'd been hearing about and then really felt like I had the rug pulled out from under me because I don't think I knew that would be that way until the broadcast actually came. Like I'm hearing about all this stuff and that but it is do they have it right? Do the Japanese have it right in thinking, yeah, that's the way the Americans like it. They're laid back. They just want it. They're drinking their beers. They're enjoying the organ playing. Are they right? If American baseball, if Major League Baseball comported itself like the rest of the world, would we push back eventually? Say, no. We Americans, Americans do need relaxation. We need to, as a whole, relax. So do we need that style of watching something still in our lives as Americans?
I mean, I think that's what everyone likes about baseball, right? I mean, at least like if you're not at the game, you know, it's the perfect sport to take a nap to, right? Maybe besides golf. But yeah. I mean, we've all done it before on a Sunday afternoon, put the Cubs down on 120 and wake up and it's 4:12 and the Cubs are over and so is your day almost. But, you know, I like that aspect of it, but I push back on the American baseball fans not like getting excited or amped up. I mean, I feel like there's 162 of those, so maybe it's hard to get excited, but like, I mean, we've all been...
We're better at conserving our energy.
Yeah, I mean, you've been to Wrigley Field. You've covered at games at Wrigley Field where the Cubs are trying to win a World Series. Like, it's different, right? It's way different.
Oh, yeah. It's like there's like a rumble. There is a part of Wrigley Field that is often dormant, and I don't mean that as a shot, but every once in a while, there are moments at Wrigley Field where that place comes to life and feels and sounds different than any ballpark that I've been in.
You remember it's like over 100 years old, right? I mean, like, see, yeah. Right? Like it's like, oh my God, this place was built in the 1900s. Like you feel the floor shake there a little bit. So.
Yeah, this is my favorite text here so far tonight. Mark, stop with this Lollapalooza crap. Talk sports. It's not that far. And stop hoping the Cubs players are better than they are. Hope doesn't win baseball games. Richard.
And that wasn't less.
Richard doesn't want any of it. Quit with the Lollapalooza crap. That's A. And then you go to different numbering systems. And enough with all the hope.
All right, A and then C, all right?
Yeah.
And then number three.
It's number three. Enough with the hope. That is...
Keep texting us. That's amazing. Keep listening, everyone. We appreciate your thoughts.
How am I going to watch Cubs spring training baseball games now after they've played two real games? I was just thinking about it. That's why I was asking you during the break. I was like, how many spring training games did the Cubs have left? The number is 5. They opened their season, a week from
today?
Mm-hmm. So,
in Arizona.
So in AZ, but they've got these spring training games. It's so like bizarre. I can't do it now, man.
It's going to be weird to like have a guy go, like Matthew Boyd pitches a game against an exhibition game, comes back now, and his next outing, it's like, okay, you're just working on the shape of your slider, right? You know, like today we're throwing change-ups, right? They hit him great. Just throw 40 change-ups.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say, I guess for the sake of Justin Steele, and, you know, he's one of the guys that I wanted to talk about a little bit, that Justin Steele, as they were discussing during the marquee broadcast, talking about how Justin Steele is not as stretched out as some of the other starting pitchers. He wasn't ready to be pulled out of spring training and play. Not that they're putting him in any danger, but, you know, there would be a pitch count, and it was a rough day for Justin Steele. 4 innings. He allowed 5 hits on 5 runs, struck out 5, only walked 1, did give up a couple of home runs, which is a rarity for him. What did he have? Give up like 12, 13 homers all of last year?
He was close to single digits.
Yeah, it was really good. So it does. I mean, that screams outlier. So yeah, I am making an excuse for Justin Steele. You heard me. I think that is legit. The only thing is, I am definitely saying that he gets a pass for this. But and this is a lot to ask because Justin Steele is really good, but he's still not one of those like top 5 ace guys. And I either needed the Cubs to get Alex Bregman or do what Matt Spiegel was suggesting when I filled in for Lawrence Holmes with him one day, saying, don't you want like a ace pitcher? Would you rather have that? And, you know, side by side, there's a debate to have. But now you look at it and, you know, it is true. Like, Justin Steele, really good, but you just don't have that top of the order, no doubt about it, lights out ace. And I like the Cubs starting staff, but it's almost like every other part of their team, Sean, that is that they are good, but nothing over the top, except for maybe Kyle Tucker, who has started his season 1-for-8, by the way.
Yeah, that's going great. No, you're right. I mean, the Cubs, through and through, they lack star power, right? Kyle Tucker's probably the only real bona fide star on this team. Shohei Imanaga has, like, star, you know, like that superstar quality in the sense that he's a character, but he's not a top 10 pitcher.
Do you think the cutting of his hair will hurt his progress?
Ooh, I don't know. It might make him more aerodynamic. It might make him, they call him the philosopher, if you remember here, because we had the professor and the philosopher.
Oh, yeah, they call me the philosopher.
Is that what they call you?
Back off. I don't know what they call
him. He's a thinker, man. I mean, I don't know. I know they were talking more. He's going to be trying to focus less on pushing the ball east and west, more north and south. Maybe, you know, the hair is going to help him with that, you know, illusion. Who knows?
Okay, all right. I mean,
probably not. Probably just a haircut, but, you know.
Just do it. Dave, what do you got for an encore? Well, I'm coming back with a fresh cut. That's what I'm doing.
And some buzz cut Shoto?
Yeah, and let's face it, man. Like, it's... And we, again, this is really holding guys to a ridiculously high standard, but he did. Shota Imanaga, I'd have to look at his home run numbers. He gave up a decent amount of HRs last year.
Yeah, I'll have to check that. Steele, you're right, by the way, 12 home runs.
Oh, wow. Look at me. So I think, yeah, Steele will be good, and he'll have some great games too, but they're still lacking that one piece, and that's why I was like, Bregman, or bringing in somebody to ace that staff for the Cubs. But yeah, I just don't know how
27 homers for Shota.
Gave up 20. Okay, Shota Imanaga, 27 home runs last year.
Fly ball pitcher, but yeah. Not good when those leave the park.
You got to wait. Well, that was part of it too. When at the beginning of last year, part of Shota's success was that nasty Midwestern weather that we were talking about.
That also subsequently broke the Cubs' offense. Yeah, it's super fun, right?
Yeah, I guess it did. I don't know, though.
It didn't, but, like, you know, that's it did. It's
a bigger factor than... I'll give the Cubs credit. We didn't start hearing that so loudly until the offseason, and even at CubsCon, where they were starting to admit, or at least say, or pontificate that the Wrigley Field played very oddly this year.
Well, even like remember that Patrick Wisdom flyout that everyone thought was a home run that landed on like the warning track? It felt like after that, everyone in that dugout was like, I thought that was a home run.
Well, and it made me think too, because I kind of went off is the right way to put it, on Justin Steele last year, when I remember him giving up a home run at one point in time, and almost pulling a Ted Lilly. It looked like he was about to throw his glove down onto the mound, and I got kind of irritated with Steele because I was like, come on, man, you know how this ballpark plays. You know you're not going to get away with stuff like that. Like, you got to know. But now that I think back, I'm like, what was going on exactly in terms of the discussions that they were having, the Cubs were having internally about the way the ballpark was playing? Because they have, I guess, low key, Sean, they've made a pretty big deal about that.
Yeah, they've talked a lot about it more. I mean, it made an impact. I mean, the Cubs did see truly, like, I mean, no one hit home runs. There wasn't a ton of hard hit balls. Balls weren't going in the air at Wrigley Field. But I think the Cubs themselves have thought a lot about this and said, all right, like, obviously, like, we have to, you know, handle that however way you can. But the way you do that is you just keep adding depth to this team. Like, they need more bats, but you look at this team this year to last year, like, if a guy like if Kyle Tucker does get hurt, at least the Cubs have Seiya Suzuki, who can play right field.
I hope
right? It's not Miles Mastroboni.
Right. That's a great point.
Kevin Alcantara is a guy that's depth, you know, like Gage Workman, if he sticks on this team, maybe Matt Shaw ends up getting pushed back down. That's a guy that gets called up. You know what I mean? Like, there's real players that come up and can make an impact.
That's a great point. I think it was Ron Coomer, who we had when I was filling in for Molly on the Molly and Haw show. He said that Alcantara would probably be, if they need a bat, depending on what's going on the roster, he'd be the first one called
El
up.
Hugar.
Yeah. El Hugar.
The Jaguar.
Okay. The Jaguar. The Jaguar is making his way.
The Jaguar.
That's right. The Jaguar is coming up. That's another part for
right.
the Cubs. You hopefully are. But it's tricky for the Cubs this year because they seem to be playing out the string with Jed Hoyer in terms of a contract. I don't know if there's a mandate from Tom Ricketts to Jed Hoyer, you got to get into the playoffs here. I don't know if it's that, but because this is Jed Hoyer is limited by what he can get from Tom Ricketts. So in other words, look, he is on the wire this year as well.
It's a lame duck year for Jed, and he got the budget kind of tightened on him a little bit. Whether the Cubs intended to do that or not, they traded away Cody Bellinger and didn't replace that salary.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. God, that's another guy who would look really good still being on his team.
It'll be interesting, but I mean, Jed Hoyer is playing for his job, and the last thing he wants to see is someone come in here and trade the guys that he's been stocking up in this farm system.
Let me say this, Sean. Let this not be a season where, like, John Birdie is the biggest story for the Cubs or something. Like,
right.
Like, I like it because it gives guys some attention that wouldn't normally get it and become cult heroes for some reason, especially with the Cubs. And he did have three hits yesterday, played some good defense, making up for the bad error that... By the way, I don't usually do this. Man, I'm really excuse-making tonight. I got to tell you, I might need to stop this. But... that error that he made in the first game on the double play relay opened up the door for Ben Brown to get shellacked in that inning. And who knows what would have happened if that didn't happen.
Yeah, and another thing, John Birdie. Yeah, one game in Japan, try to turn a double play and get nailed. It's your fault.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's one of those things where it's like, all right, whatever. You know, in that game, in a moment like that, it's not great. But John Birdie's going to make a ton of plays. But you're right, though. Like, last year, like, when the Cubs were struggling, like, I think Mike Tauchman was their best offensive player at one point. Like, that should be a great side story. That shouldn't be Mike Tauchman is leading the offense on the Chicago Cubs.
Right,
like, if John Birdie is, like, you know, the catalyst of the offense, we've had some problems.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Like, that's a good question to ask. Like, Cubs or White Sox players who have had one too many at bats. Like, as in, we didn't need that much of you. We had to have that much of you. Like, Brian LaHare. No, that's a bad example. Brian LaHare was an all star.
He was an all star. Granted, he hit, like, I think, what is it, like 16 home runs before the all star break? Like, 14 of them were in the first, like, month of the season.
who was the first baseman? He came in with wisdom. This wasn't that long ago.
Frank Schwindel.
Schwindel. There's another guy, right? Got one too many at-bats from Frank Schwindel.
There's guys like Emilio Bonifacio had like a hot 3 weeks to start the year for the Cubs,
yes,
I remember.
Yes. Yeah. Got one too many at-bats from Emilio.
Eric Hosmer. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, hey, you're lucky you were playing when you were. You got one too many at-bats with this organization. Schwindy City. Sorry.
That's good. We should have turned this into a segment.
One too
many at-bats, one too many preps.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, we've still got 45 minutes to go on the show, so maybe we'll just randomize those and open it up to the texters. 312-644-6767. Cubs or Sox that had one too many games, one too many trips to the old plate. So you can text those in. And so far, it's the best part of the night. Alyssa Bolzamini has entered the studio. Alyssa Bergamini, who will perform the pregame show coming up at 8:45. She is in the studio. So when we return, we will talk to Alyssa Bergamini about the Bulls, about the White Sox, about whatever she is interested in talking about. Bergs, I am looking forward to talking to you. Just shout it out.
I can't wait. I got to get back to that Lala conversation.
Oh, we'll see what Sean comes back with out of the break. We're doing Lala bumpers here.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay, Dunzo. Dunzo. I just don't want to upset the texter who said, stop with this Lollapalooza crap and stop hoping for the... While I'm at it, quit with your hoping. I'm Mark Grody. We've got Alyssa Bergamini next on The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm here up until the start of Bulls basketball. Bulls at Sacramento. 8:45, I'm being told, is the pregame. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, and our pre- and post-game host, Alyssa Bergamini, is here,
hello,
ladies and gentlemen.
And you know what, Sean? That was a very fitting song, Espresso, because I do have iced coffee at 8:30 at night. Call me crazy.
That's okay.
But it's okay.
I
got a 9 p.m. tip-off.
I think nighttime coffee is like a thing, man.
I get a pass.
It's okay. I mean, I understand.
Until it's 2 a.m. tonight and I'm up thinking about everything in the world.
Right. It can create complications in your life, but like, hey, you're doing the your work starts at 8:45 tonight.
I have to be at my peak performance right now.
And yes, you do.
Almost 8:30, but I'm ready to go. And that song is a song that I listen to if I'm having like a bad day and a mood. So it's just
Sabrina Carpenter,
Sean,
right?
Thank you so much for that.
What's the name of the tune? It's Sabrina Carpenter.
Espresso. It's literally called Espresso.
Oh, it is actually called Espresso.
And I know you're going to see her at Lala.
Well, if I go, the only way I'm going to go this year, of course, I said the same thing last year and then I went.
I know, I remember.
Yes, because my niece was there and she saw Benson Boone and it was hilarious to watch her fall in love with music and Benson Boone
and
simultaneously. Like, absolutely. But the only way I'm going to go this year, I think, Alyssa, and this is not like some sort of I'm a heavy big shooter, is if it's VIP.
Oh, because I'm with you on that.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I aged out of Lala a long time ago. I mean, what's aging out of Lala? 26?
I mean, I even feel old anytime I'm there. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I did go, but yeah, you kind of watch all the youngins and they're coming off of the trains from the suburbs and you
just
feel like a dinosaur.
Right. You got to like, I was able to kind of create my own path. Like, I knew where I was going. So I didn't get
stuck. You have to have a plan.
You got to have a plan, and the plan was Benson Boone.
There you go.
And then the guy who sings "Take Me to Church." What's that guy's name? I forget the "Take Me to Church" guy.
Take me to church.
You know, like, "Take Me to Church," and now he wants us to drink his whiskey too. He likes his whiskey neat. Who is that guy? Hozier was not good, but I think it was because I was like kind of
the guy that wants to take us to church. Is that how you just described
him? Yes, I couldn't think of his name. The church guy, Hozier.
I thought you were talking about Dana Carvey at first.
or just a priest. That's hilarious. The Bulls game tonight, though, is kind of cool.
I'm excited.
I understand. Like, it's tough these days with the Bulls and all, just because of what's going on, who they've lost. They're 29-40, but the Bulls are in Sacramento. Who's in Sacramento, Bergamini?
Oh, well, some familiar faces. And it's like when you see your ex with someone else. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine.
So hurtful.
In the purple. They're donning the purple now. And Zach LaVine is playing tonight. He was out last night against the Cavaliers, and the Kings did win last night over the Cavaliers, and the Cavaliers have 56 wins. They're the best record in the NBA. So Bulls played last night in Phoenix against the Suns. They did fall short to Phoenix. Devin Booker had 41 points. Bulls made a little comeback there in the fourth quarter. They were winning there by 9 points at one point, but it was the Suns who prevailed. So both teams are coming into this game on the second leg of a back-to-back. Both teams sit in the ninth in their respective conferences. So you have the Bulls sitting in that ninth seed and the Kings sitting in the ninth for the Western Conference. Kobe White's been on a tear. He's scored 20 or more points over the past 10 games. So for any of my bettors out there, I just say take the over with the Kobe White points. I'm actually going with Kevin Huerter, though, because he played on the Kings. And I just feel like these players play really well against their former teammates, right? You want to show
motivated.
Off a
They're always motivated to do that. Kobe is something, man. I mean, he hit some like he made us feel like for a while last year, Kobe White, that he could have some star power because he put together all this big, huge group of games that were excellent, and now he's doing it again.
Yeah.
Does that make it hard to figure out, right, like who he is and what he represents and how important or unimportant he is for the Bulls? Unimportant is the right word, but you know what I mean. Where he falls in with this Bulls team in terms of this rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he just continues to have statement games. Last night alone, 24 points, 3 of 9 from 3. He always seems to be the guy that comes in clutch now, and that is, you know, last year we, of course, had DeMar DeRozan, who is a clutch player. I saw some crazy stat, too. DeMar has scored the most fourth quarter points in the entire NBA since 2020, and he was with the Bulls. So he was our clutch player. The Bulls really don't have a clutch guy right now. Yeah. And if anyone, it would be Coby White. So
somebody's got to grab, like, there's opportunities, right?
Yeah.
For Buzelis. And
I like Modest.
What have you thought about Modest? I mean, I've he's an enjoyable, I don't know if he's good yet, but he's an enjoyable part
of
the
always,
Bulls.
He always brings 100%, I could say.
Yeah.
I did feel bad when he was in the slam dunk competition. He tried so hard, and he had so much confidence, like too much confidence almost.
I was like, change it up.
But he's still so young, young.
Weren't you like, change it up,
I know,
yo?
Like try something different,
just,
right?
Just get on the board.
I know he wanted to get it. But yeah, Modest has been so fun to watch this season. You know, he's been playing as a starter because he's had those opportunities. So a lot of these new guys, young guys, new faces, they've had these opportunities because, you know, no more Zach LaVine and no more DeMar DeRozan from last year. So that's something Bill Lennington and I talk about a lot in the post game. Just certain players are getting the chance to show their stuff. Mm-hmm. Trey Jones, he's been someone as well that is a new face with the Bulls in the Zach LaVine trade. And will these guys be with the team next year? Some may not. So it is, you know, the season is winding down, believe it or not. Like you said, they're 29-40 on the season. And they're, again, just kind of mediocre, kind of there right in the middle, but the ninth seed right now, probably in the play-in. I'm fine with working more games. I like working with, you know, Chuck and Bill and being with everyone here. So I'm on that side, but I understand where people are coming from, where they wanted the Bulls to tank, but we're not doing that.
Oddly enough, I've had a really good time in my personal life the last 2 years that the Bulls were in these play-in games.
Okay.
Because I've gone out and watched the game.
Okay.
Last year, I watched it. Gabe Ramirez and I,
we
were both living in Oak Park at the time. We bellied up, and we had a blast.
Good.
It, you know, it was just fun. Bulls lost. Was it Atlanta? It was Atlanta last year.
Atlanta was last year. The year before was Miami.
Yes. Yeah, so.
And it could be possible home game, too, for the first round of the play-in. So, hey, you know, like, we don't get much here in Chicago in terms
of sucks,
playoff.
No, it sucks, Alyssa. No, no, no. It blows. Don't get me wrong. I'm just over here trying to make the best of it. And I know always trying.
Always. That's why I have to listen to espresso a lot and drink a lot of espresso. I'm always just like,
get the music up, Sean. Oh, my God. So the Bulls are coming up here in just a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
We've only got a few more moments here. The Bulls at Sacramento, 8:45. You'll be hearing a lot from Bergs in the pregame show with Chuck and Bill. I want to ask you about something that almost, like, stole the headlines from me.
Okay.
I didn't know this, and maybe I should have known this.
Did I come in with some breaking news?
Yeah, give the breaking news that you told me about the timings of White Sox games this year. I did not know this.
So as you guys know, White Sox home opener is a week from today.
Oh my gosh.
And it is the earliest that it is the earliest that the White Sox have ever had this opening day, March 27th. It sounds early. It feels early.
March sounds early. We had Potsy on earlier. It's like baseball, it doesn't sound right in March.
I know. It's okay. I'm ready for it. But all of the 7-10 games that once was, they are now 6:40 games.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes such
cool
a difference.
That. It's going to be lighter longer.
Low key, big difference. I like that the Cubs do that a lot before the summer hits and the kids are back
are
out
of
school.
Yeah, it's for the kids too, you know? Then they get to go to bed at, I guess, an earlier time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 6:40 will be the first pitch for all of the games except for July 11th when they honor Mark Burley with his statue.
Oh, that's going to be so
awesome.
So
July 11th, 7:10, all the night games, 6:40, and of course the day games, you know, 1:10, and opening day is 3:10.
Man, the Sox need...
So if anyone needs a schedule ever, just reach out to me.
The Sox need that Mark Burley. I got a feeling. I mean, they've had, you know, Bergs. Mm-hmm. Bergs is the
in-game
host for the Chicago White Sox, if you don't know that about her. So she has watched basically every White Sox game. I'm sure you watch a lot of the road games as well, but she's at least at and seeing everything that goes on with the Chicago White Sox. So it's been rough the last 2 years, but my God, I'm already thinking about, like, Mark Burley, who is definitely in the top. Would you put him top 5 or top 10 in terms of most popular Chicago
White
Sox?
Absolutely.
Top 5 or top 10?
Oh.
I mean, like, I'm not necessarily saying the greatest, because we could put that list together and it would start with Frank Thomas. But like, in terms of popularity, man, he's probably top 5.
Yeah, I would say I do see a lot of 56 jerseys.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he's just such a good guy to everybody around him. And then
I
just a really a brilliant pitcher.
Also, something for opening day, do you know who's throwing out the first pitch?
Ooh.
I'll give you a hint.
Oh, is it Sabrina Carpenter?
No, that would be great. He was on the Chicago Bulls, and he was number one.
Oh, my God. Derrick Rose.
Yes, Derrick Rose.
Rose.
They just dropped a really phenomenal video today, and I'm giving a shout-out to Michael Gomez because he is the one who got Derrick Rose, and he got his team involved, and Derrick Rose will be throwing out the first pitch
that
a week from today. So come on
awesome.
Out. Come say hi to me. Get the milkshake. Bring a coat. It's going to be 50. That sounds fine to
That's
me.
It's not too bad. There's been much worse.
I say that now, and who knows?
We've had snow on the south side and the north
Rain,
side before.
A little bit of everything.
So, important question for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina Carpenter or Olivia Rodriguez?
Sabrina.
All the way. Do you like Rodriguez? I mean,
they have a little bit of beef. Do you know this?
Really?
That's for another show.
I do not know this.
I'm Team Sabrina.
I love hearing it, though. I love hearing it. It makes
of beef
it interesting.
From the Gen Zers.
Because it's time to move on from the Drake Lamar.
Oh yeah, I don't
beef.
Know too much about that.
Yeah, I mean that's just
that is a topic I am not as knowledgeable
okay.
about. But I do know that I would like to see Sabrina Carpenter one day.
Okay. Well, why don't you know what? I think that might be a good way, like make that an extension a side honeymoon is what I think that you should do.
I think our honeymoon is actually during Lala, which
perfect.
Should I just cancel the honeymoon?
There it is.
I might cancel the honeymoon.
It's going to be a Lala honeymoon. For,
can you imagine?
Oh, my God. Hope Matt's ready for this.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hang out on that dirty lawn.
Alyssa, you are the best.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks
Appreciate
for coming
it.
On. Alyssa is going to be here doing Bulls, going to be part of the pregame show with Chuck
yep.
and Bill, and then she will certainly be here for the full postgame show as well. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a fine job of producing this show. Of course, he is shadowed by Robbie the Tree, Triano, who is digging in right now. He is rising like a tree in the forest in the background, a nice willow tree. He will be the one running the Bulls game. So if anything doesn't sound quite right, that's on the tree, because we know Rich Wyatt will do his job. We know that. Hope everybody has a great night. Who do we? Oh, Mark Potash. Thanks to Potash for coming on. Bergamini. Who else? Anybody else?
Bob Beller.
Oh, Bob Beller. Bob Beller from Boise. Talking about Ashton Gentry. Check that out if you want on the Odyssey app. I'm Mark Grody. I'll talk to you guys later. Bears.